This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Well, Jade Hurley, we're going to have a little chat to Jade on the blower. And Jade was born on the 17th of June 1943 in Sydney. His full name is John Anthony Patrick Hurley. Performance name Jade was provided by the great Johnny O'Keefe in the 60s. J.O.K. discovered the very young Jade playing at a talent quest at a Sydney pub. Now, if you're from Sydney, I'm pretty sure it was the Alloa pub, if you know where Alloa is in Sydney. J.O.K. was coming back by car from Wollongong and he stopped off at the pub and caught Jade on stage, who immediately offered him a gig on 6 o'clock rock. Wow, his country pop vocals were combined with the melodic and rhythmic feel of the current beat era, so he said, I think you'll go very, very well on 6 o'clock rock, and he was right. He regularly toured around Australia in a motorhome, playing in tours up and down the country and doing the RSL and club circuit in New South Wales. In 2008, he broke attendance records at the Tamworth Country Music Festival, where 1,550 people turned up for his show. Jade was awarded an Order of Australia Medal, an OAM, for his contribution to the entertainment industry, encouraging and nurturing young talent, and for his work with charitable organisations, including the Arthritis Foundation, Camp Quality, and the Australian Cancer Research Foundation. He's done a wonderful job there. He also served as an alderman on the Deniliquin Council. And that's important because Deniliquin is in the Riverina. Now, the song of Jade's I'm adding to the playlist today is Jade's 1974 hit called Down in the Riverina. But Jade had to change some lyrics in the song because it originally referred to the federal member of that area, Al Grasby. The original lyrics in the song went, "It's Grasby country, you hear it all the time." Now, Al Grasby was an Australian politician who served as Minister for Immigration in the Labor Whitlam government. He completed reforms in immigration and human rights, is often referred to as the father of Australian multiculturalism. That's hard to say. Multiculturalism. He gained notoriety by acting as an agent of influence for the Calabrian criminal network in Griffith, New South Wales, that murdered anti-drugs campaigner Donald Mackay, prominent Riverina businessman who also was the Liberal candidate going up against Grasby in 1974. So he knew the mafia there that got rid of Donald Mackay, and of course they've never ever found the body. Beginning on the 9th of May 2005, the Melbourne Herald Sun ran a series of articles alleging that Grasby used his influence to put a stop to a National Crime Authority investigation into that Griffith mafia and to let mafia criminals into Australia as being the immigration minister, and that he was paid to do the mafia's bidding, including receiving thousands of dollars from the Griffith mafia. Gio Franco Tizzani, a mafia informer, identified Grasby as being at the beck and call of the Calabrian mafia for at least 40 years. According to the National Crime Authority, the mafia funded Grasby's election campaigns. So those original lyrics, "It's Grasby country, you hear it all the time," because Grasby was the member there for that Riverina area, had to go and be replaced with the lyrics, "It's God's own country, you hear it all the time." And quite frankly, I reckon that's better anyway. I like that. "It's God's own country, hear it all the time," instead of "It's Grasby country, you hear it all the time." Anyway, let's talk to Jade himself now. He's on the line. Yes, he is. And good morning to you, Jade.
Good morning, Paul. Lovely to talk to you again, mate. And down in the Riverina, yeah. God, a long time ago, that one, when it was a number one hit record, but and great memories from those years.
Yes, well, look, I was just mentioning it to the listeners that the original lyrics you had to change a little bit. I mean, that came out in the 70s when there was a particular politician in power and you had to change the name.
Oh, God, did you have to bring that up?
Yes.
Well, yes, you're right, because when I wrote the song, and I was living in the Riverina, and Johnny O'Keefe rang me up and he said, "Look, I was living in Deniliquin in the Riverina, and he said, look, why don't you write a song about the Riverina? Because no one's ever written a song about the Riverina. And at that time, the local member, federal member, was Al Grasby, the federal minister for immigration and colourful tyres and other things like that. And so I did, and I wrote the song, and I was doing a show in Hay one Saturday night, and we were driving on the way back, and in the car I was with my drummer, and I was singing this down in the river, you know, down. He said, "What's that you're singing?" And I said, "Oh, it's a song that Johnny O'Keefe wanted me to write about the Riverina." He said, that sounds really good. And I was just singing it openly to myself, and he heard me. And when we got home, I'd basically written the song. So I put it on cassette with me playing the piano. And then I decided to ring John, J.O.K. So I rang John and I said, "John, I've written a song about the Riverina." And I could tell that he'd had a few whiskies, and he said, "Oh, that's great." Then I said, "Would you like to hear it? I can play it to you down the phone." I just recorded it on the piano and everything. And he said, "Yeah, okay." So I said, "Are you ready to go?" And he said, "Yeah." So I pressed the play button, and I'm sitting back listening to myself singing and playing down in the Riverina, this brand new song. And after the song finished, I said, I picked up the phone and I said, "What do you think of that, mate?" And all I heard was... He'd fallen asleep.
I was expecting you to say, he said, "Oh, my goodness." And he was suddenly sober again, but he'd gone off with the Sandman. Oh, well. Well, it didn't matter, because it was a great song. And, of course, you mentioned the Riverina, and, of course, wonderful Deniliquin. It's one of my favourite places. I've been to the Ute Muster there several times. Just absolutely love Denny. And, in fact, I love all around there. We used to stay, of course, driving from Adelaide to Sydney, halfway is Hay, and we often used to stay at a motel in Hay. So that Riverina, I've got a little bit of a soft spot for it myself. And in good times, when it's not dry and when you get a bit of rain, it's magnificent country, isn't it?
You're right, Paul, because when it rains, it's just magnificent. There's the great big sheep and cattle properties there, and which are some of the biggest, and the biggest merino stud in the world, Faulkner's merino stud in the world is there. That was a lovely time of my life, living in Deniliquin, working in the shearing sheds, and after being ripped off by managers and agents in Sydney, I just had to get out of Sydney and get out of the entertainment scene of Sydney because of all those rip-offs. But then Johnny O'Keefe said, "Hey," after riding down in the Riverina, he said, "Come on, I'll fly up to Sydney, we'll record down in the Riverina." And, of course, it was an instant hit and everything like that. And although, you know, the press made politics out of the song because, as you said, I mentioned Grasby. I call it Grasby country. You hear that all the time when you're down in the Riverina. They're the words that I wrote. But I didn't write those words. The words Grasby country, in reference to the Riverina, was written by the press. So I just pinched the term. Well, it's Grasby country. You hear that all the time when you're down in the Riverina, and they play politics with it. And that was a terrible thing. That
upset you a bit, Jade.
Oh, shocking.
Well, Al Grasby, I mean, he was a hero there, a hero-like figure, and his percentage of winning the vote for that federal seat was absolutely huge. And then, of course, he came to grief because of corruption.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I'll never forget, I got a call from him one time, and he said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And this was a Saturday afternoon. I remember it vividly. And I said, "Oh, nothing." He said, "Well, why don't you come for a drive up to Griffith? You know, I've got some friends want to show you something."
And hello.
So anyway, I said, "Yeah, okay, not a problem." So I got in the car and drove up to Griffith and went to this one particular address, and I won't say what the name is, but it was a very well known underworld name at the time in and around the Riverina. And anyway, we went there and we had a wonderful Italian lunch and everything like that. And,
right.
And then I was taken. Then we said, they said, "Oh, we want to show you something in in the town. So we went into the main street, Banner Avenue in Griffith. We pulled up outside this place called the Texas Tavern, and it was a restaurant bar. And off the main street, and the stairs went down into this basement, and here was this magnificent restaurant bar.
Ah.
All stocked. There was pigs and sheep and everything in the freezer. The shelves were stocked with every conceivable liquor, and it was unbelievable. And I said, "Well, what are we doing here?" And they said, "Well, we'd like you to run this and buy it."
What?
And I said, "What am I? I don't have the sort of money to buy this sort of thing." And they even had a little upright piano on a little stage in the middle of the restaurant. It was unbelievable. And I said, "I don't have the money to buy this or run this." And they said, "No, don't worry about the money. We'll just fix it up with you, and you come up here next week and you start opening up. We'll publicise it on the local radio station, and away you go." Anyway, I talked to Barbara on the way home. We were really excited, but very, very troubled about it.
Yes.
And the long and the short of it was, by the time we got back to Deniliquin, after that visit up there in Griffith, I said to Barbara, I said, "No, we can't do this, because it's just smells too good to be true." And and of course, what they were doing, it was one of their ways of cleaning up some of the drug money.
Ah, yes, and using jade. They made you an offer you couldn't understand.
Absolutely, and and of course, you know, we all know what happened to the Liberal politician there who got murdered over all of that. And they were shocking times, Paul. But
Donald Mackay
in that manner was just Donald Mackay, and he was a lovely bloke, but to be involved in all that was just pretty scary, to be honest with you.
Talking with Jade Hurley, and Jade, it just shows the character of you that you didn't accept that. I mean, you know, a lesser man would have said, "Oh, that's easy money. That's an easy thing for me to do." But you obviously, with your wife at that time, Barb, you discussed it and said, "Well, no, it's not kosher."
That's it. What would have happened to Jade Hurley if we'd gone ahead and done that?
Yes.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think you would have, like Al Grasby, you would have tarnished your reputation, Jade.
Sure, I would have. And,
no, you did.
Because what subsequently down the track came out, just scary. I mean, how many other people just disappeared off the face of the planet, Paul, over all those drugs being grown there in and around Griffith was just unbelievable. Because, I mean, here you had a lot of these mafia-identified people living in unbelievable mansions,
yeah,
and living in a lifestyle, but growing oranges and grapes. Hello?
Hello.
And then, of course, when the questions started getting asked and all of that was...
Jade, what did they say when you said no to them?
I rang them back on the Monday morning, and I said to the one particular person, we can't do that. I made up a bit of a story that I had the chance to reinvent my career, entertainment career in Sydney. So
that was the truth anyway.
Well, ultimately it was.
Yeah, yeah.
All by default, because when I played down in the Riverina to John when he was drunk and fell asleep on the phone, the next day when he woke up, he called me back and he said, "Righto, sorry, I fell asleep. Play it to me now." So I played it to him again, and straight away he said, "Okay, I'm going to bring you to Sydney and we'll record it and see what happens."
And the rest was history. It was a big hit for you, and then you continued your career and then doing many years on the Mike Walsh Show, which, you know, introduced you to another wider audience as well. And you're still performing. That is, you know, pre-COVID, you're performing, and you're looking like, Jade, you might be back in action in February, fingers crossed.
That's right. We've got a brand new show going out, Paul, with Normie Rowe, Diana Lee and myself, called Three Legends in Concert. And,
wow.
So we're looking forward to taking that everywhere, and bookings are already restarted again for that. But look, I've been so blessed because, first of all, being discovered by Johnny O'Keefe all those years ago when I was only a 14-year-old kid, and put on 6 o'clock rock, and then you know, having a chance conversation with Mike Walsh, and then he put me on the Mike Walsh show with my own segment for all those years, almost 15 years, and still doing it, and still capable of throwing the old leg up the piano and everything like that.
Oh, you're fantastic.
I mean, I'm just so blessed.
Yeah, you are, but you're blessed with talent as well, because I often talk to people about Jade Hurley, and I always say you're a wonderful showman. Showman, mate, through and through. But let's get back to In the River Arena. It's a wonderful song, and I'm very happy to play it this morning. You've never been afraid to do country songs. And you know, sometimes, I mean, in America, country music is huge. In Australia, there is some embarrassment from some quarters if you do country. But you've never been afraid to do a country song. You know, I give you an example of Tom T. Hall, Watermelon Wine, and Old Dogs and Children. You've never been afraid to do a country song. And I don't think you should be. I think country songs are fantastic.
Well, Paul, it was interesting that you say that, because when I got the offer from Mike Walsh to do the Mike Walsh show, to have my own segment on there called Jade Hurley Golden Olden segment, part of that was to do four or five songs in a row, which had been number one hit records down through the years. He'll Have to Go from Jim Reeves, Old Dogs, Children, Watermelon Wine, as you alluded to, from Tom T. Hall, and many, many others. Oh, Lonesome Me, even Old Shep from Elvis. So I would do the rock and roll songs, like See You Later, Alligator, and then follow it up with Old Shep on the Mike Walsh show. That formula set in trend something for me for the next, right up until now, because even if I do my show now, it incorporates country music classics as well. Simple as.
And, of course, you know, the piano just suits all the honky-tonk stuff.
You know, I'm lucky enough to do what I do, Paul, and to be able to play the piano and play it differently. It's interesting that Johnny O'Keefe said it to me one time. He said, look, I said to John, I said, what attracted you to me to want to manage me and record me and everything like that? And his answer was, because you play the piano differently to anybody else. Ironically enough, when I was touring with Johnny Cash throughout Europe and Ireland and England, he said the same thing. I said to him, I said, gee, it's lovely doing the shows with you, John. And he said, well, Jade, he said, it's lovely doing the shows with you, because he said, you know, Jerry Lee's a mate of mine and a friend of mine, and Charlie Rich is a friend of mine, and all these great piano, country piano players and rock and roll piano players he mentioned. And he said, you play different. And it was exactly the same comment that Johnny O'Keefe had made all those years before. Oh. And the word was different. And, you know, I just developed my own style. And people say that I copy Jerry Lee Lewis and everything like that. Couldn't be further from the truth.
No,
I just do what I do myself.
I know that, having seen you live as well. You're not a copier. You create your own style, which is wonderful. Okay, can you introduce Down in the Riverina for the listeners?
Love to, Paul. Well, here it is, folks. And it's been lovely to talk to you, Paul, and all your listeners on your wonderful station up there. And here it is. Jade Hurley, that's me, and this is Down in the Riverina on Fab FM.
Well, I stopped round Griffith and works on down the south. Down to Echuca, follow up.